Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Well, last week we ended at this halfway through chapter 30. You know, sometimes God just does things to let us know that He is God, that He can do whatever He wants, you know, and He works in different ways. Sometimes I go, Lord, that's weird. I mean, that's really weird how you did this story that we're going to see this evening, and then we're going to go into chapter 31 and look at the battle between Jacob and Laban a little bit more, too. But this section that we see here is an amazing section in ways, but it does make you question, okay, how does this work? So beginning in verse 25 of Genesis chapter 30, it says, "It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own place into my own country.'" And so, honey, could you behave?
Or, she's instigating.
Oh, she's instigating. Okay. Ushers, please come get my wife. "Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country." You know, the call of God is an amazing thing, is it not? The invitation of God, as I listened to Donna's testimony, the invitation, she says, it may not should happen all the time. It shouldn't have happened, you know, her being in the children's ministry on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and all that. I don't remember that, but I'm glad that she did. But obviously from what she said, she learned a lot. She really learned a lot. But it had to be a call of God. The call of God is empowering. It's scary. It's bewildering in ways. It takes us beyond where we are comfortable, because let's admit it, we love to stay comfortable. We love to stay in our little place and have everything under control. But there's times where God just takes us, and He takes us beyond ourselves. And often He does that by taking everything away. He takes everything away from us and puts us in a place where we have to depend upon Him. He knows He's the best discipler ever. He's got the best growth program, you know, from heaven that we know. But here we see that there was a call on Jacob's life, and Jacob goes about it in interesting ways to answer this call. "So send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country." In verse 26, he says, "Give me my wives and my children." It appears that Laban had still some control culturally over his wives and over his children. So he cries out, "Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service, which I have done for you." By this point, how long had Jacob served Laban? Anybody know? 14 years. That's a long time. 14 years serving for Rachel, but then he also served for Leah there. So a total of 14 years. And we read some of the things that went on last week about that. So he stands before Laban here and says, I've served you. And he's basically saying, you know my service which I have done for you. He was honorable. He, as we will see here, he was truthful. And he did everything, it appears, that he was supposed to do well. And then in verse 27, it says, "And Laban said to him, 'Please stay, for I have found, if I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake.'" The anointing of God that's upon people's lives is an amazing thing to walk with. When I used to travel a lot with Mike McIntosh, I never worried about a plane crashing because I was on the same place with Mike because I knew he was anointed, okay? And if he was anointed, you know, God, you know, and it's just funny, but the plane never crashed. Never crashed, even when we went to Thailand up into the Golden Triangle, probably one of the scariest flights I've ever been on. You know, we were just bouncing back and forth from side to this and all of that. But the anointing of God to watch is, like I said, an amazing thing. If you've ever been or ever had been to a Billy Graham crusade, that was an amazing experience. How many have been to Billy Graham crusade personally? Isn't that an amazing experience? I mean, I love it. I love being around that gift of evangelism being used in a powerful way. And he would just get there and preach the gospel and then just have the altar call. And I was always in tears watching that. Vi and I, when we had our first son, Jeremy, we were brand new in the Lord. And she was about ready to give birth, about 9 months into the whole situation. We were down there in 1976, right? 1976 in San Diego at the Jack Murphy Stadium out there counseling. You know, they had people to sign up. We didn't even know what counseling was. But we wanted to be part of it. It's so exciting when God moves, when the anointing of God is there and you get to stand back and just watch it and people come forward and go down there and talk to people that are really broken and in tears that way. So he says, I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Oh, that it would be that way in our lives. As Donna was sharing about the people down the street, something was different about them. And they were blessed when they went down there. Then he said, name me your wages and I will give it. And so whatever those wages were, Jacob said to him, you know how I've served you and how your livestock have been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own house? He wanted to provide for his family. Good guy. Nothing wrong with that. And I can remember, you know, through the years, the young years of being a minister and all that and being blessed because God's blessing was upon the place. I remember standing up on the third story of the North Park Theater and just standing there on a Wednesday night and watching the people. There was no parking at the North Park Theater. And they would park on the streets and just watching them come from all directions. It was a wonderful time. We're in the midst of revival. Oh, that God would visit us again in such a way to bring revival into our hearts. We have to pray more and more and more. So he said, again, name me your wages. I'll give it to you. So Jacob said, you know how I've served you and how your livestock has been with me. So he had a great testimony. In verse 30, for what you had before I came was little. And then verse 31, so he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. Underline that, put stars, four stars next to that. That is an important thing to realize, that principle that is there. Jacob had matured. God had put him through this 14 years of training. He felt a call from God to be out of where he was. He knew that he didn't have anything. He could leave at that point if God wanted him to leave at that point, but God didn't want him to leave at that point. Sometimes when God calls us, there's more preparation that has to take place. Sometimes we're ready to go. Let's go, because I know God has called me. I've met individuals that have waited 10, 15, 20 years for God's call to be evident in their lives and where he wanted them to be. Just taking all kinds of time. God does interesting things. But you shall not give me anything. Again, remember that. Go back to Genesis chapter 14 with me just for a moment. It was another time that happened. Genesis chapter 14. There was that meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek. And then in verse 21 of chapter 14, it says, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord. Notice, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Chuck Smith taught me this principle through the stories that I heard about him. One time there was a person that came up to Chuck and had a $1 million cashier check. And I've shared this story. But, he handed him the check. And as he's handing Chuck this $1 million cashier check, he adds and says, this is where it's to go. And at that point, Chuck said, I can't take that. I can't take that. because the motives was wrong, and he was, instead of just giving it to the Lord and letting the Lord show where it would go, he put this requirement there on Chuck in that way. Chuck walked away from that. I learned from that, because that person could have said, I have made this ministry. I'm the one that did this for Calvary Chapel, or I'm the one that did that. You know, a person that really gives with a heart just to release, that's what you want. It isn't that you can't be involved and make suggestions, but you have to be careful when there's demands, inappropriate demands. This is where I want this to go or that to go, because people have to be very careful. It's interesting. Those that are rich, sometimes they want to even control their giving. And from my point of view, I'm very, very careful that way. I try to be very, very careful to see if it's just given to the Lord for his use in any way that he would have it. Back to Genesis chapter 30, verse 31. Then he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. That is important for us. Remember that. Be careful what we desire. Be careful who we allow to do what in our lives. It may seem that they mean well, but search it out. Pray it real through it very, very well to make sure that the motivation is correct. If you will do this for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. And then verse 32, he says, let me pass through all your flock today. Removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep, and all the brown ones among the lambs, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and these shall be my wages. Now turn over to chapter 31, verses 11 and 12. We get an insight to why Jacob did this. In verse 11 of chapter 31 of Genesis, it says, then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. So God gave him a dream. It's interesting when God gives dreams. It's interesting when he speaks to us about the things he wants to speak to us about. He'll do that in the middle of nowhere. He'll just speak. You know, we'll be involved in another situation. We were talking about that today in our Horizon University meeting. And just in the midst of something that was going on, God spoke, and it had nothing to do with what was going on. But sure enough, it was God, because the circumstances developed after that. He does things beyond what we can imagine. And I just love walking with the Lord, don't you? I love each and every day, because we get the privilege of walking with him and seeing what he will do. But if we stay awake in that way, okay, Lord, what are you going to do? I don't demand that God would do anything, but just watching God's people, just watching what God does. I love walking through and the people in children. I was never called to children's ministry. I praise the Lord for that. I never was called there. But I love to watch the gifts. I love to see the callings in that way. And would people do that? You know, and they wear these funny shirts around. Have you noticed? They're red and they're green and all that. They, you know, but I just love watching God's people do what they do. And God can come to us with a dream, can he not? And here's what he did. He just came to Jacob with that dream, and it was a crazy dream as it develops here. Now look, Jacob, it says, I turned the wrong page there. Let me pass through all your flock today, verse 32, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and all the brown ones among the lambs and the spotted and speckled among the goats. These shall be my wages. Now, these were the sheep that were not the most desirous. What Jacob was doing, the dream that he had, he wasn't going for the best of the sheep. He was going for what they considered back there in that culture, those that were not the best. And so he just has this dream, this vision, and he is obedient to God. You see, the change in Jacob's life, these 14 years, did something in this man's heart. Verse 33, so my righteousness will answer for me in a time to come. And so there's going to be a test now. Who is the righteous one in the midst of this situation? When the subject of my wages comes before you, every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats. Notice that. Every one that is not speckled and spotted. These are the least desirable among the goats, and brown among the lambs will be considered stolen, for it is with you. I love this. Why I love this is that he was willing to step out into an area that was totally weird, but he would be totally in the hands of the Lord. Let that be a lesson to us. God will call us to the weirdest situations at times. It will not make sense. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense in so many different ways. But it's him working it through. It's him doing what he wants to do. So when you get in those situations, just relax. Trust the Lord. See what he's doing. Make sure your heart is right before him. Just stay in love with Jesus. And this was an amazing thing. He just said, anything that is not weird, he's basically saying, consider it, if it's in my flock, consider it as stolen. So he trusts the Lord at this point, verse 31. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. I looked at this and I thought, this man's excited. Let it be according to your word, because he knows they aren't the most valuable sheep. So anything other than that, and he thinks in his mind, definitely this is what's going to happen. He's going to get all the wiped sheep. He's going to get all the good goats. He's going to get everything like that. So if that's what you want to do, everybody no doubt was thinking that Jacob was just out of his mind at this point. And then, that it were according to your word. So he removed, Laban removed that day the male goats that were speckled and spotted, all the female goats that were speckled and spotted. He himself removes this. You'll see his character as we go through here. He's the one that does all this. He steps right in immediately. He doesn't really trust. There's a whole distrust relationship going on between these two men now. Everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown ones among the lambs, he separated them. He gave them into the hand of his sons. Laban put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. So it appears that there was a separation of flocks. It appears that Jacob would take care of still of Laban's flocks there. Now, verse 37, Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the water troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. You know, faith and obedience will be honored by the Lord. This is totally weird. Don't you think you guys have read this before? This is weird. This is one of those areas in Scripture, and I just scratched my head. Everybody has their own opinion on this, what was going on. I don't know. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard of any shepherds going out and putting these things in the front of the eyes of anything to produce anything. I don't know. Maybe you guys have heard that. And I've never really heard what I consider, a good explanation other than this. This is what God did. This is what he chose to do it. This is where he chose so he could get the credit. Nobody else could get the credit. Jacob couldn't get the credit. And Laban couldn't claim that Jacob was doing something against him wrong. And so the rods were put there. They were peeled in verse 38. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled and spotted. Then Jacob separated the lambs and made the flocks face toward the streak and all the brown in the flock of Laban. Notice this in verse 40. But he put his own flocks by themselves and did not put them with Laban's flock. Great wisdom. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger livestock conceived, did Jacob place the rods before the eyes of the livestock in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the flocks were feeble, he did not put them in. So the feeble were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. What we can see possibly is he was just making sure breeding took place. The strongest ones, he put those with the other strong ones, and that would produce strong lambs or strong goats. That's what we can see. I don't know what it has to do with the streak things or anything like that. If you got a great idea, come up to me afterward. Maybe I can learn something. You know, even at my young age, I can learn something new tonight. But all that I know is God gave Jacob a dream and said, this is what I want to do. And Jacob says, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you. As weird as it is, I'm going to trust you. So then it says in verse 43, thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. God is moving Jacob away, and God is preparing, and he's blessing him now as he'll go back into the promised land. And so Jacob here now in chapter 31 was called back to the promised land. And a lesson that we see in these chapters is one of the greatest and challenging sins that we know of. It's called jealousy. Jealousy is an awful thing. And that's what we see in Laban here. The definition of jealousy is this: that passion or peculiar uneasiness which arises from the fear that a rival may rob us of the affection of the one whom we love, or the suspicion that he has already done it. Anybody ever been jealous here? It's not a good feeling, is it? You know, and another definition is it is the uneasiness which arises from the fear that another does or will enjoy some advantage which we desire for ourselves. You know, that's what happens when we get this feeling. We're desiring something for ourselves that may not belong. It could be a person. It could be a car. It could be something else. Anything like that. It could be a house. It could be whatever it could be, a position at work. When we get upset that somebody else gets it, we need to be careful, especially if it grows into jealousy. In short, jealousy is awakened by whatever may exalt others, forgive or give them advantages or pleasures which we desire for ourselves. Sometimes the Lord really tests us. I've had different times in ministry that I've prayed about something, and I prayed sometimes for months, if not sometimes years, and I just felt, this is what God is going to do. And then I turn around, and he gives it to somebody else. And I go, oh, and I get this emotion that goes through me. And I go, oh, I don't like that emotion. I don't like what just happened either, but I don't like that emotion. And often that God will do that. He'll have us there just to pray. He'll have us to be just whatever in the midst of that situation. So be careful when jealousy comes along. Remember Joseph's brothers were jealous? Remember King Saul, what happened when he was jealous, where that led to? The laborers in the vineyard were jealous because some laborers got the same amount of money they did. The elder brother there was jealous too, and that his father would reach out to him. So be careful of that. And that's what we see going on in this chapter. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 30. Now, Jacob was called back to the promised land. And because he was called back to the promised land, obstacles against that happening followed him. And that's what we're going to see here as we go through this. When we get the promise of God, when we get the calling of God upon our lives, often there are obstacles. I watch when a person wants to move out and volunteer and serve the Lord. I begin to pray because I know there's going to be obstacles that's going to come their way. It's just the way that it is, it seems, in this world. So we're going to see a set of obstacles here. The first obstacle to following God is a threatening situation. God's called us. We're ready to go out. And then sometimes there comes this threatening situation. With Jacob, it was true in verses 1 through 3 here. Notice, now Jacob heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's. So there's this attack against him. This is the obstacle. And from what was our father's, he has acquired all his wealth. Notice they're blaming him, but he was careful that he didn't do that. And Jacob saw the countenance of Laban, and indeed it was not favorable toward him as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Obstacles will come to us fulfilling what God wants to do. Mike and Judy, I look out there. They're planning, I don't know how many know, but they know that they're to step out of from the school. He serves a position here, and Judy does too, in the school. Mike is the head of the school. So he came to me one day, and he said, Bill, I just feel God's moving me on. I go, oh, okay, whatever you're doing, you know, can't hold on, don't want to hold on, and all of that. But I'm watching now as they're going through that. Has there been any obstacles? Huh? Just a few? Just a few. There'll be more obstacles. I'd like to encourage you, okay? But there's a call in their hearts, and I'm enjoying and watching it and just seeing what God is doing and the enthusiasm. But there's going to be obstacles. Amen? There just is going to be when we are called by God to do something. And that's what happened here. Jacob saw the countenance and it had changed. And returned, but in the midst of it, God comes again and encourages him. Come on, I've given you a call. There's an obstacle here, but just keep going forward. And that happens. The second obstacle we see is to following God is the potential opposition of family members. Remember what, again, what Donna said about her testimony? As soon as she came to the Lord, was that a good thing? But what happened as soon as she came to the Lord? You know? I thought you were going to say that they were saying that there was a cult. Yeah, they did that. Yeah, because they used to think we were a cult. I don't know if you guys know this. We're not, but, you know, they used to think we were a cult. And the reason why they thought we were a cult, because we were on this acreage, and we were way back. The history that was here during these years, 30 years that we've been here, it's just amazing. Actually, 27 years on this property. And but we were back there where the cabins are back there. And because they're there, we were a cult, you know, as far as people was concerned. I tried to become a chaplain. And the head chaplain, I could not become a chaplain. I kept asking him, the police chaplain. I kept going to him and going, and I couldn't get there. And I finally found out. I figured it out. I knew somebody that was the secretary of the mayor. So I called Candy and I said, Candy, how do you become a chaplain in this place? You know, and she said, you want to be a chaplain? And I said, yes. And so she said, I'll get right back to you. So she went to the mayor, and all of a sudden I became a chaplain. You know, just went around everything because found out then Greg Isaac's a great guy. He really is. But he really believed because the word went out that that was a cult back there. So he wasn't going to have a cult. And I thanked him for, you know, his diligence of his heart and or his concern of his heart. But he should have checked it out a little bit better. So then after I became a chaplain, then because I got appointed by the mayor, then the chaplains that were there didn't trust me because it was a political appointment. So I couldn't win. And then finally, I just went to Greg and I, you know, just and long story. And I said, here's my radio. Here's my badge. Here's everything else. That's it. I'm out of here. You know, and I figured I'm just going to release it. And if it comes back to me, then he's going to make it come back to me. And sure enough, he came back. And I thank the Lord. We have a great relationship. Greg's a great guy. But, you know, it's interesting, the opposition that comes. But opposition will come from your own family. You can't leave. You know, when our two kids, our daughter and her husband were going to leave and go to Colorado, it was sure in my heart, probably not advised, but in my heart, no, I can convince them to stay. You know, all these things, but I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. You don't want to be an obstacle. But real quickly, look at verses 4 through 18. You see, Jacob was committed to following God, but his family, what would his family do? Again, in verse 4, so Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. Look at this. This is wisdom. He knew God was doing something. And so he now goes to his wives and he speaks to them and says to them, verse 5, I see your father's countenance that is not favorable toward me as before. But notice where he goes in verse 5. You'll see the maturity of this man now. But the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my might, I have served your father. So he had a great testimony. Even his wives knew that this was true. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. See, he's centered upon God at this point. Then if he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore speckled. If he said thus, the streaked shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore streak. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Now, Jacob will go through 6 years of this type of situation. And you can see there's a battle going on. You know, Laban comes over and sees prosperity. He sees that's what's being born. So now he says, okay, let's change the deal. And I want these and all. And so, you know, Jacob just knows that it's God. It's God forcing him to come closer and closer. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Verse 10, and it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked and speckled and gray spotted. Then the angel of the Lord spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. Let that be, underline that, let that be a lesson. If God speaks to our heart, just say, here I am, Lord. I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you want to do. And then verse 12, and he said, lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. God is there. He'll protect us. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a flock to me, a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land and return to the land of your father. There comes the call again. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to me, is there still any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not considered strangers by him? You can see how Laban felt about his daughters, for he has sold us and also completely consumed our money. Now, that's important when we get further towards the end of the chapter. For all these riches which God has given or taken from our father are really ours and our children's. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do it. Wow. How important it is when somebody in our family comes alongside, you know, and believes in us, believes in the vision. I just love you ladies, because, you know, you have your vision, you have your callings, and that's really neat. And a guy can come alongside, but a lot of times it's the woman that's there, and they just simply say, where you want to go, I'll follow you wherever you want to do that. And it's such an encouragement. It truly is. Then verse 17, Jacob rose, set his sons and his wives on camels, and he carried away all his livestock and all his possessions, which he had gained, his acquired livestock, which he had gained in Padam Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Personally, I believe Jacob stepped out of faith at this point. You know, I feel that personally, it would have been better for him just to confront the situation, allowed everybody to say goodbye to Laban in that way. But he decides to do this way. Personally, I feel that he just went back to his flesh in that way. Now, the third obstacle to following God is family carnality. You know, as we are called by God, there's different obstacles. And in verse 19, you see this carnality of one that he loved. Look at verse 19. Now, Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. She, by doing that, could have destroyed everything that God was doing and what Jacob felt he was called to do. So there's obstacles from without. There's obstacles from within, too. The fourth obstacle we see for Jacob not to do God's will is personal fear. Look at verse 20. And Jacob stole away. See, he snuck away, unknown to Laban the Syrian, and that he did not tell him that he intended to flee. So he fled with all that he had. He arose and crossed the river and headed toward the mountains of Gilead. Personal fear. Be careful. Doubts come into our lives when we're called by God. Stay strong in what God has told you to do. Write things down. When God was moving us from San Diego here, I became a person that journaled. You know, I don't do that so much anymore, but it was very beneficial, because when I doubted, when we came here, everything went wrong that we could think of. Everything seemed to go wrong. And so, but I went back to those promises that God gave me. Be careful, because what we do when we begin to doubt, we can take it into our own hands. And Jacob got into a little bit of trouble for that. Okay, what's another obstacle that we see? The fifth one is greed, covetousness, and anger of others. Look at verse 22. And Laban was told on the third day that Jacob had fled. Then he took his brethren with him, pursued him for 7 days' journey, and he overtook him in the mountains of Gilead. But God, notice verse 24, had come to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. What was the good that he could have spoken, that Laban could have spoken? He could have said, come on back, I'll give you this. You know, That's a dangerous thing a lot of times. When God's calling us on, a lot of times there's all this other stuff that will happen. Have you ever noticed sometimes when a person is called into a job, they couldn't get a job before. But then when the door opens to the job that God wants them to happen, what a lot of times happens? 3, 4, 5 different jobs appear. I see it over and over and over. It just happens. You know, different opportunities come. And it's just interesting. God uses that to speak, speak and to protect us in different ways. But he said, don't you speak good? In other words, again, don't offer or entice him to stay. Don't speak bad. In other words, bitter words in any way. So Laban overtook Jacob. And we see this now. Again, wrong dealings and deception is a resistance to what Jacob wants to do. So Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mountains, and Laban and his brethren pitched in the mountains of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, "What have you done that you have stolen away unknown to me and carried away my daughters like captives taken with the sword? Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me and not tell me? For I might have sent you away with joy and songs." Notice he says, "I might have sent you away with joy and songs, with timbrel and harp. And you did not follow me to allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you have done foolishly in so doing. It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your fathers spoke to me last night, saying, 'Be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad.'" Be careful in what we do and how we do that. Remember one time when Vi and I were called in brand new in our walk with the Lord, no more than about a year and a half into the Lord, and he called us to have a Christian commune. And so we had this Christian commune, and it was in one of the worst places in San Diego. And we were there, and we took people off the streets. And Vi had an aunt in San Diego named Aunt Mary, and she was kind of a large woman. She was kind of big. And then Vi's grandmother came from South Bend, Indiana, back there to visit Aunt Mary, and then there was an Aunt Alice. So one day, all three of them show up at this place where we were on Streamview Drive in San Diego, and they come in there to check it out. You know, what's going on? The aunts that lived there heard where we were, what we were doing and all that. They gave a bad report back to South Bend, Vice family, and out comes these three women, and they just come marching in and park their car, come in, and I wasn't there. I don't think I was there. I don't remember being there. Anyway, they walk through this, and they see that, believe it or not, there's people of different color here, okay? And there's different people they're not really the nicest people, you know, and all this. And so they look around there, and they go back to, and call back to Vi's mom in South Bend, and call her and give this bad report. And Vi's mom gets on the phone to Vi and says, "Honey, I'm buying you a ticket for you and our son, Jeremy," at that point. "You fly home and you leave that guy." And, because the ministry was weird. What do you do at that point? Well, I got on the phone and just yelled at Vi's mom. No, I really didn't do that. Vi made a stand that day and said, "I am here to stand with my husband. And this is what God is doing in our life, and I really appreciated that." But I had to give her a call. So I had to figure out what I want to do, because there was something inside of me that just wanted not to be nice. You know, here's this call that God has. It comes from outside. It comes within. And I got on and I said, "Mom, you know what? We love you. And you're very special. But this is what God has called us to do. And, you know, we're going to continue to do this. And we just love you. Thank you for caring about us and all of that." You know, God just showed me what he did is just won her over a little bit more, you know, never resisted ever again. And so we have to be careful with our testimony, what's going on. You know, he was told to be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. And then let's just go on to verse 30. "And now you have surely gone because you greatly longed for your father's house. But why do you steal my gods?" Then Jacob answered and said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I said, 'Because you would take your daughters from me.'" take your daughters from me by force. With whoever you find your gods, do not let him live. In the presence of our brethren, identify what I have of yours and take it with you. For Jacob did not know that Rachel had sold them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maids' tents, but he did not find them. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household idols, put them in the camel's saddle, and sat on them. And Laban searched all about the tent, but did not find them. See, she and her sin had put it in a position that this vision that was from God could be hindered because of what she did. In verse 35, she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise before you, for the manner of women is with me." She was on her period, and he searched but did not find the household idol. So he couldn't touch the saddle that she sat upon. Then in verse 36, we see some interesting things, all these obstacles, and now we begin to see what takes place to overcome the obstacles. First, in verse 36, Jacob was angry and rebuked Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me?" Often when resistance comes to doing God's will and accusations come our ways, we have to make a stand. We just make a stand and say, you know, the way we make the stand is very important. And he was just making a stand there at this point. What is my trespass? He got angry. A righteous indignation, the King James Bible calls it. What is my trespass? What is my sin that you have so hotly pursued me? Verse 37, he says, "Although you have searched all my things, what part of your household things have you found? Set it here before my brethren and your brethren, that they may judge between us both. These 20 years I have been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have eaten the rams of your flocks. That which was torn by beast, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night." So we just see he was a mean taskmaster, this Laban, and he really had a love for money and nice things. Verse 40, "There I was," Jacob says, "in the day the drought consumed me, the frost by night, my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I have served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Verse 42, "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the God of the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." So God is in the midst of everything. In verse 43, he says, "Laban answered and said to Jacob, 'These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children.'" This battle that's going on, this possessiveness that's in Laban. "And these flocks is my flock. All that you see is mine. But what can I do this day to these my daughters or to their children whom they have born? Now therefore come, let us make a covenant." This is a way to bring peace back into the situation. "You and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. Then Jacob said to the brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made a heap, and they ate there on the heap. So they're having this covenant. They're entering into it, this peace that's being brought back into the relationship. Laban called it Jagar Sehath Dula, and Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between you and me this day." Therefore, its name was called Galeed. So they're setting this thing up, and what you're going to see is they're setting up a boundary. You know, Jacob is not to go north of this, and then Laban says he won't go south of this. And Laban said, this is verse 49 in Mizpah. He also called it Mizpah, which... as we see there, means a watch between us. Also Mizpah, because he said, "May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent one from another. If you afflict my daughters, Here's a dad coming in the midst of it. If you afflict my daughters, or if you take other wives beside my daughters, although no man is with you, no one's going to be there. See, God is witness between you and me. Now, all of a sudden, Laban's getting religious, and he says, okay, if you don't do the right thing, God's going to be there, and he'll take care of you in that way. Then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap, and here is this pillar, which I have placed between you and me. This heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap, and thus this pillar and this pillar to me or harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, and the God of their father judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain. They're making peace here, and called his brethren to eat. Brethren, they have this meal, and they ate bread and stayed all night on the mountain. And early in the morning, Laban arose, kissed his sons and daughters, and blessed them. Then Laban departed and returned to his place. Interesting story, isn't it? But right in there, it's just a man walking by faith. There's obstacles that resist him, but he made a stand, and God blessed his stand, and then he's going to continue. And then we'll go into, Lord willing, the other chapters where we'll just see how the Lord blesses this man in a special way. Let's stand together, and let's pray, please. Lord, simple stories that we look at this evening, but a lot of lessons in the midst of it. So we pray that you would just bless it to us, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you might cause us to be honorable before you, to stand where you place it, when you place a call upon our lives. And Lord, as obstacles come, we'll be able to recognize them and stand with you in the midst of them. Be glorified in our lives, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.